I'm going to be reading a few verses, three of them, in Daniel chapter 9. And the title of my message tonight is 483 Years, and Then the Clock Stopped. And I'm going to show you from God's Word the interpolation of the period of time of grace. 483 years, and then the clock stopped. And I'm going to show you from God's Word the prophecy regarding Israel. You see, Israel has been given a set number of days that God is working with them. As a matter of fact, from the time of Daniel to the end of God's dealing with them, he said it was 490 years. But something happened. After 483 years, it stopped. There's still 7 years left. And we're going to look at that tonight, and we're going to take to heart the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming, His death, and then the stopping of the prophetic time clock with Israel. Because Israel made their choice. They chose to reject the Messiah. And so the Lord gave a prophecy to another apostle who would come along and be saved just within a few years of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His name was Saul. He was an adamant enemy of Christianity, and yet God transformed his heart on the road to Damascus and then gave him, spent 3 years with him training him, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians. 3 years he was spent in the wilderness. God taught him about something new that he was doing. It's called the age of the church, or the church age, or the age of grace, if you want to call it. And Christianity has blossomed during this particular period of time. And then an event will take place that will transition us back to the time of Israel. And the remaining 7 years in that 490 years of prophecy. And I'm going to show you the things that have not happened yet to show that there has been a big gap with what is taking place in this prophecy that's given. I'm reading in verse 24, and I'm just going to read three verses here. Actually, I read 4 through verse 27. Chapter 9, 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, we need to understand something. When you see the word weeks, it is the Hebrew word heptad, and it means seven, all right, seven. So you've got 77s, all right, 77. So 70 times 7 is 490. That's the total, 490. And we learn that these 70 weeks are speaking of years, not days, but of years. And so we have 490 years determined upon the nation of Israel. A period of time has been set for them. That period of time has not been completed. And I'm going to show you why from God's Word here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now notice all the things that are packaged there. Talking about Israel being reconciled for what? Iniquity. All right? Then he speaks of, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Has that happened yet? No, it has not. And to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. He's not on his throne. He hasn't been anointed king of Israel yet. He is king, but he has not been anointed king of Israel. That has not taken place. He is not seated on the throne in Jerusalem as promised. And see the 2 points of the prophecy here? It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. When Daniel hears the expression, thy people, who is he thinking of? The Gentiles? No, he's thinking about the nation of Israel. The people of Israel. And upon thy holy city. What's the holy city? It's Jerusalem. All right? Very important for us to think clearly about this. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now, what's that a reference to? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He shall be cut off, but not for himself. And we're going to get into that expression in just a little bit. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week. All right. One heptad. 7 years. All right. Get that? We're going to show you the breakdown in just a little bit. And he shall confirm the covenant with many, talking about the prince that shall come. The prince of the people. That's not a reference to Jesus Christ. That's a reference to the Antichrist. All right? He's going to come and he's going to make a covenant with Israel to promise them peace and security in their land, peace within their borders. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and at the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate, or better translation of the Hebrew is the desolator, the one who does the desolation. God's going to pour out his wrath upon him. And that, of course, is at the very end of the tribulation period, the end of that one heptad. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing tonight. Father, we know that sometimes when we get into these numbers and so forth that we can be confused, but I pray that you might bring clarity tonight. Help me to be able to communicate your word in a very clear fashion, and I want to thank you, dear Father, for how you fulfilled Scripture and how you will fulfill Scripture. The death of Jesus Christ has taken place just when you said it would happen. And I pray that we might understand that everything yet future, that last and final 7-year period, will take place. It will be the final of the 490 years that were determined upon Israel and Jerusalem. It will take place just as you said. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, as we read these verses of Scripture, there's a few things that you need to remember always. The 70 weeks are weeks of years, not days. Weeks of years. The Hebrew word used in the original heptad is 77s. That's what that word means. Therefore, each of the 70 weeks represents a period of 7 years. 70 times 7 means 490 years. The total period of time of God's dealings with Israel. From the time that the city was rebuilt, who did God send back to rebuild the city walls and to rebuild the temple? You have Zerubbabel, you have Ezra, you have Nehemiah. Those are the ones that come back and they rebuild the walls. And he says of that time, when that's done, there's going to be an additional 483 years that happen. After that original 49 years comes 483 years, all right? And Messiah will be cut off at that point. That's talking about the crucifixion. That's why I said this morning that Palm Sunday was the official offering of Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel. And what did they do? They cut him off. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ ended at that point. It was a measure on the nation's part. We want nothing to do with this one who says he's king, who says he's the Son of God, who says that he's the Messiah. We want nothing to do with him. But isn't it interesting that they're all powered, fired up in that last heptad to accept the Antichrist as the Messiah? Because he does such marvelous things for the nation of Israel in the first half of the 3-year period, 3.5 years of the 7-year period. We're going to look at that in just a little bit as well. Number two, the prophecy concerning Daniel's people, Daniel's city, which is the Israelites and Jerusalem, is important to bear in mind. He's not talking about the Gentile world domination at this particular moment. We live in the time period of Gentile world domination, do we not? Israel does not have a great deal of power. Now, it's interesting that Israel sent their prime minister to Russia to meet with Putin, trying to bring to an end the inhumanity and the horrible destruction that's happening in Ukraine. And you know why? How many Jews live in the Ukraine? Do you realize that before 1918, there were over 2 million Jews that lived in the Ukraine region? You probably have seen the show Fiddler on the Roof. You ever? That's the story of the Jews being expelled from what place? Ukraine. Kiev. All right? They're moved out and they're sent to America and they're sent, but there are still a large segment of Jewish people living in the Ukraine. See all the connections here? So here's the prime minister of Israel. He goes over there to meet with Putin. Why? He's got Jewish people there. Do you realize that right now there are plane loads of Jewish people leaving Poland? And you know where they're going? To Israel. I read this week in the Jerusalem Post of the number of planes that have delivered Jewish people from Poland, bringing them back to Israel. You remember the statement that's made that the Jews shall come from the four corners of the earth? What's driving them out of Ukraine? Russia. And they're going where? They're leaving Ukraine where they've been all their lives and they're going to Israel. What is God doing? He's moving His people back to that land. Slowly but surely. We have had a number of Jewish people leave cities like Chicago, which has a large Jewish population, New York City. You know what they're doing? They're trickling back. They're going back to the land of promise. There is a move taking place, and God's using warfare to do it, to push them out, to bring them back into the land. What's God doing? Oh, He's getting ready so He can give the signal to His Son. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. Only the Father knows that. And He's going to give His signal and everything is going to fall into place, just like His Word says. Understand, please, when we read verse 24, that we have the key to the whole vision of Daniel in this passage. Verse 24 is the key. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And God deals, this is something that's important, God deals with His people as a nation. When they ceased to be a nation in 70 AD, they were scattered all over the earth. Some settled in Asia. Many of them made their way into modern-day Russia, the Ukraine. Millions of them went there. Many of them were pushed out during the Bolshevik Revolution in 1918, 1917, 1918. Many of them came over on ships and they settled in Chicago and they settled in Minneapolis and they settled in Detroit and they settled in New York City. They just congregated in those particular cities. Right? They were spared from the millions that died during the Bolshevik Revolution. I think that somewhere close to 20 million people lost their lives during that period of time. And yet God saved a contingent of Jews, brought them over. When you have World War II and you have the all-out assault upon the Jewish people by the Nazi regime, of all the people groups, blacks were singled out, and who else? Jewish people. They were singled out for destruction. Basically, Adolf Hitler and not so much the other ruthless rulers because they weren't thinking that way. They were just grasping after power. But Adolf Hitler had a purpose in mind to exterminate off the face of the earth the Jewish nation. That's satanic. And he killed 6 million of them. And then in the following years, the Jewish people did not have much to go on as far as a place to go. The British mandate had ended. And now they were wanting to come back to the land. You remember the boats that were filled with Jewish people that came over across the Atlantic and came to the United States? And even Roosevelt said, you can't land here. You'll have to go somewhere else. They ended up in the Black Sea area of modern-day Ukraine. They came around and worked their way back up and settled in the Ukraine. Now, all of these things happened together as part of God's timetable. But after 483 years, whenever Messiah was cut off, there's something that starts. Notice this break here. Let's begin reading at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. All right? 7 weeks. 7 times 7 is 49 years. All right? So 49 years. And 62 weeks. That's 434, I think it is, 434. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Do you think that Nehemiah had trouble? Boy, did he ever. He had spies on the inside, spies on the outside. I mean, it was a troublesome time. They didn't know whether they were going to get the wall built. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. I've done a little bit of block laying. Chris and Roger and I, we laid the blocks up on the CBC builder back in 1998. Well, that just seems like yesterday, right, Chris? I had never laid block. I think Chris had, but I had never laid block before. And I want to tell you something. It wasn't something I wanted to repeat. All right? Lifting those blocks up there and putting them up on that thing and then hauling up the mortar and then filling all those. I knew how these men did all the work here on this building. We got to do a little bit down there. But I cannot imagine. I was hanging on with both hands and then trying to trowel and put bricks up at the same time. Can you imagine doing that with a sword in your hand and a trowel in the other trying to build? But that's what they went through. Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 49 years, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after, right, so we have those 49 weeks, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So when that period of time, when you add it up, 483 years, Messiah's cut off, he's crucified, and something happens. But not for himself. What seems to be interesting about the Hebrew word there, and there's been much debate over how this particular word, because it's so unusual. It's a word that's only used one time in the Scripture, and it's right here. What is it? But not for himself. In other words, something happened. Something happened with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. His kingdom was not formed at that time. That seems to be the indication. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension back into heaven, something comes to an end right there. Not an end of itself that never to be repeated, but something comes up like a little wall. And God does something else for a while. Lo, I turn to the Gentiles. That's the message of Acts. After the period of time of Acts 2, and you have the coming of the Holy Spirit, and there's a few thousand people that are saved, but what do the Jews do? The Jewish leadership? They reject Paul. They reject the message of the gospel. They don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And Paul says, lo, we turn to the Gentile. And Peter starts lowering in prominence, and Paul comes into prominence in the book of Acts, and we see them carry the message to the Jew first, but also to whom? The Greek. And by the time you get to chapter 16 in the book of Acts, lo, we turn only to the Gentile because the Jews were giving them such problems everywhere they went. And so the gospel goes to the uncircumcised. That's an important distinction. That's all part of what God is doing. And God revealed to Paul that he's starting a church. All right? It's from all people groups, Jew and Gentile alike. Now, 483 years had happened up until that point. What about the last? Has that happened yet? No, it hasn't. There have been many that have tried to say that, yes, that last 7 years has already happened, but there's a lot of problems with that. And I want to point them out very quickly. Remember, please, that God never reckons time with the Jewish people when He's not dealing with them as a nation. All right? The heavens have been silent. Israel became a nation in 1948, but there hasn't been any heavenly messages coming down. And those people live, by the way, the most liberal democracy in the world is Israel. They were the first to push homosexual rights. They were the first to push gender identity. Israel! You talk about going against this book. Israel's been a leader. They're not following the Old Testament scripture. They've rejected that as a nation. So God's not dealing with them yet. But it's coming. It's coming, that final. There are five things that I want to point out very quickly to show you that the seven-year tribulation period has not happened yet. Number one, the Antichrist has not been revealed. That's a simple one. The Antichrist has not, there's not been one person in history that's ever done the things that's described in the Bible about the Antichrist with all of his power and all of his might. There hasn't been one person ever to meet the qualifications of the Antichrist. Hasn't happened yet. So that must mean what? We're thinking, people, right? It's still yet what? Future. Number two, a monumental covenant has not been made with Israel granting security and peace with the Antichrist. Oh, there's been a lot of peace accords that have been done. Remember the Camp David Accords? And everybody said, peace in our time, we're going to have peace. Has that happened yet? By the way, what's happening in Israel right now, tonight? They have had several things that have happened over this past week. A number of Israelis have been killed by rocket attacks, by bombs, some of them Iranian bombs. There has been all kinds of serious attacks within the borders of Israel. It's still dangerous to go there. Our State Department, if you go to their website, encourages people not to go to Israel. Why? Too dangerous right now. It's too dangerous right now. Number three, here's another one that often gets forgotten. Gog and Magog has not occurred, which signals the beginnings of the seven-year period announcing the greatness of Antichrist and his false prophet. What's going to happen at the very beginning? There's going to be an assemblage of nations. We're told this in Psalm 83, verses 6 through 8, names the nations that are going to come up against Israel. And also in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. We have this Gog and Magog. There's two of them. There's one in Revelation, which doesn't line up with the one in Ezekiel. You just put them side by side, and they don't compare with each other. Two different events. One at the beginning of the tribulation, the other one at the end of the millennium. So you have to understand that. Don't confuse the two. They're two separate ones. Gog and Magog has not happened at the beginning of the thing, because this is what is going to lead to the ascendance of Antichrist. How does he come on the scene? Islamic nations, and they're all named in Psalm 38. They're all named there. They come up against Israel, and all of a sudden there's judgment poured out of heaven. It takes 7 months to burn up all the armament. There's a great fire that takes place where they burn up all the armament that takes place. And guess who takes credit for that? Antichrist. Because he does a number of miracles, he and the false prophet, that follow, and that ascends him up to the top. He takes credit for that. It was God that gives the victory to Israel. But Antichrist takes that as his step onto the world scene of power, Gog and Magog. Very important. Has that happened yet? No, it hasn't. It hasn't happened yet. So that means it's yet future. Number four, we're almost done here. The time of Jacob's trouble has not occurred. The time of Jacob's trouble, the Bible describes that as the most horrible time in history. horrible, terrible things are unfolded in the last half of the 7-year period. Those haven't happened yet. Some people say, well, the Holocaust was that. No, it's not. Did the Holocaust take place in the land of Israel? No, but we're told that Antichrist will do his work in the land. They will cry unto the hills for the stones to bury them. The Bible says in that time it's going to be so awful. Those mothers that have children will cry out and rue the day they had babies during this time. It's going to be so awful and so terrible. Has that happened yet? No, it has not happened. There's been no breaking of a peace covenant that brings about such horrible, terrible things such as slaughtering a pig at the altar that's going to be working in the working live temple of the tribulation period that Israel's going to rebuild and restore with the sanction of the false prophet. Please do that. And they're going to fund it and they're going to supply it. And then Antichrist will come in and offer the pigs on there to show them that he is done with Israel. The deception is over with. The time of Jacob's trouble has not occurred. And then finally, this is important, the rapture hasn't taken place yet. This is the capstone of the end of this interpolated period of history that wasn't shown to Daniel. There's a gap here in this passage because verses 26, the flood and the end of the war of desolations to be determined, all the breaking of the covenant, the abominations that he shall make it desolate. Those haven't happened yet. So what happened? Is God done with Israel? Absolutely not. When God said 490 years are determined upon my people, he meant it. When he said that 490 years are determined upon the holy city, Jerusalem, he meant it. And everything that's prophesied will take place in that last heptad, the last 7 years of Israelite history. Because at the end of that, Jesus Christ is going to ascend the throne of Israel. And he's going to rule not just Israel, but the world. He will be the promised son of David, but he will be the son of God on the throne. And his children, the church saints, will rule and reign all around the world. God has a position and place for his children to rule and reign around the world. And we'll all answer to Jesus, who will be on the throne. That's yet future. The rapture is the end of the church age and the beginning. There's a little interim period that Daniel tells about, that there's a little space of time, and then Antichrist will be revealed, and his big show up on the earth will be Gog and Magog. When you begin to see the assemblance of Islamic nations against Israel, and by the way, what do we see today? We see Iran getting arms from Russia. We have China supplying arms to Islamic countries. Why? Well, to make a buck. No, the stage is being set because they want Israel's destroyed and they want the oil and the natural gas that belongs to the land of Israel right now. Huge supplies. By the way, we'll never make a climate change to all electric, battery operated. Okay? We're already seeing in Europe, people are realizing, Germany right now is realizing, we made a big mistake. We made a big mistake. We put all of our eggs in one basket. We said we're moving towards all battery and all green and so forth like that. And now we've been cut off from oil from Russia, not getting at the amounts. And so what's happening there? We're moving back to third world country status. They don't have enough gas. They don't have enough oil. What do we use in airplanes? What do we use to make plastics? Petroleum. There's never going to be an end to that because they're going to fight over Israel's oil and natural gas. Predicted in the Word of God. 483 years, and the clock stopped. The hands just froze. We've had this period of the times of the Gentiles, and within that, the age of grace. But when the rapture takes place, the ascendance of Antichrist will come. Wherever he is in the world, he will rise, and he will take credit, he and the false prophet, for all of the destruction of the Islamic nations that came up against Israel. And he will ascend to power. Everyone will say, he's wonderful, he's wonderful. And Israel will say, he's wonderful, he spared us. And it was God Almighty that did it all along. May God help us to understand and know that the events of Palm Sunday and Passion Week and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was on God's timetable. Messiah shall be cut off. And with that, the clock stops temporarily. But the clock will start ticking again. Whenever the ascendance of Antichrist comes. And what happens before that? The church is taken out. We will not have to go through the wrath to come. May God help us to understand these things and be able to find confidence in the Word of God. The Word of God is not wrong. It's our understanding of it that's oftentimes wrong. Father in heaven, we spent a little extra time tonight dealing with this passage of Scripture, but I pray that you'd help your saints to realize that Israel will have everything done that God says will be done. We know that the last week, separated from all the other weeks that are pointed out, has yet to take place. It will take place. It will happen. The horrible things predicted in the book of Revelation will unfold. And Israel will once again be under the terrible gun of destruction because of her rejection of Jesus Christ. But then, at the end of the tribulation period, they shall turn and see the one whom they have pierced, and they will embrace him as the true Messiah. What a wonderful day that will be. But at what cost? Because of their rejection. I pray that you'd work in our hearts, that we would not reject thy Son, but that we might be found in faith in Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.